got the Lord to lean on today. Amen. Stand with me if you're able as we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord today. Amen. If we could, one more time before we dive into the word of God, can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise for our visitors? Amen. We are thrilled to have you in the house of the Lord today. Amen. I pray that this service will be a blessing to you. Amen. If you got your Bibles, I'd like for you to meet me in the book of St. John, the fourth chapter. St. John, the fourth chapter. I do feel an unction from the Holy Ghost today. I love what I feel in this place from the very beginning of this service. Brother Joe, I struggled with where to put those announcements, sir. I warred in my flesh. What, I put them at the beginning? No, we're going to start hot. To put them at the... We just did it. Praise God. You did a fantastic job. Amen. Prayer and offering. So heartfelt. Amen. We're so thankful that the Lord has brought you and your precious wife into this congregation. We celebrate with Sister Crystal 7 years, amen, of sobriety. Praise God. There are so many testimonies in this church today, and we're so thankful for each and every one of you and what God is doing in your life and your families and what God has in store for you in your future. Can you say amen? Amen. St. John, the fourth chapter. Begin reading in verse 31, St. John 4 and 31. Amen. If you do not have your Bibles, the text is up on the screen behind me for your convenience. If you need a Bible, please see us before you leave this place today. We want every home to have the Word of God in it. Amen. So please see us before you leave today. We'll make sure that you have a Bible. St. John 4 and 31. The word of the Lord says, in the mean, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto his disciples, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Verse 33 says, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then will come the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you. I want you, everybody, to say all over this house, he sent me. He sent me. He told his disciples, he said, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. You're reaping a harvest that you didn't even have to sow. My God, I sent you to whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men have labored, and ye are entered into their labors. There is nobody in this room that the Lord did not call to be a worker in this end time harvest. There is no one under the sound of my voice that God did not call you to be a laborer in his field. How many want to do what God has called you to do today? And that's to be a worker in God's end time harvest. I want to preach to you for the next few moments, if you'll help me, on the hidden harvest. The hidden harvest. Lay your Bibles gently down in your seat. Let's magnify the Lord together all over this house as the body of Christ fitly joined together. Come on, lift him up, church. Give him praise, church. Be thankful unto him, church, for he is good. Give him praise. Give him glory. Magnify his name today. He's a wonderful Savior today. Hallelujah. He's greatly to be praised in this house. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen. But don't sit down on the Holy Ghost today. Amen. In the early 1900s, Great Britain was feeling the full effects of World War I. The production of food, the collection of food had become a major concern in the country. Their agricultural industry had taken a major hit. Things were in disarray. Because of the war, because of the recruiting of the soldiers to fight in the war, it had taken most of their able-bodied and strong and fit young men, and they had nobody to work in the fields. The dilemma was so great that it was projected that the Commonwealth of Great Britain had only enough food to last about 4 months, and then people would begin to starve to death. In the year of 1916, their government stepped in, took control over all of their farming, and instituted something that they called a plow policy. It took control over all of the farming. They released certain people from their positions all over the nation, including their police officers in the springtime. They would release all of their police officers for a certain season in the spring to go and to plant and to plow in the fields. Police officers from all over Great Britain came to participate in the program, and the initiative worked. As a result of the reallocation of labor, their crops increased to 57% above pre-wartime levels. Pre-wartime levels. It was better than it was before. Because people responded to a need, crops increased, the nation was saved from starvation. What are you saying today, Pastor? What I'm saying is wartime Great Britain needed all hands on deck. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that the end time church needs all hands on deck. Hallelujah. God has called you and you and you and you and you to be laborers in his field. And if we're going to reap a harvest, come on, if we're going to reap a blessing that we didn't even have to sow, we're going to have to become laborers in God's field today. Amen. What I'm saying is the church needs all hands on deck. What I'm saying is there's a harvest that's ready, that's beyond your comprehension today. You don't even begin to know how big of a blessing God has in store for those that love him, those that seek him, and those that search for him. Let me tell you something today. Thinking that we will reap a harvest without laborers in the field makes about as much sense as a milk bucket under a bull. It does. If you think we're going to reap a harvest in this church without nobody getting out into the highways and nobody talking to their family members and nobody telling people how good God is, let me tell you something. You're crazier than a cuckoo bird is today. We need somebody who's willing to buckle down, and we need somebody who's willing to open their mouth, and we need somebody who's willing under the unction of the Holy Ghost to say, let me tell you how good God really has been to me. Let me tell you how my life was in shambles. Let me tell you where the Lord brought me from. We need some laborers in the field today. Hallelujah. Amen. We need some laborers in the field today. Amen. And that's the only way that it's going to happen. Church, there's a harvest that's ready. It's greater than we could ever begin to imagine. It ain't going to happen without bodies in the field. And it ain't going to happen if we don't learn to put first things first. Let me tell you something. Every year, amen, me and my wife let tomatoes rot in our yard because we get sick and tired of picking those things. Church, we can't let God's harvest rot out in the field. There's people that need you to buckle down. There's people that need you to pull up your bootstrap. There's people that need you to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's people that need you to say, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Let me tell you about a God who's able to deliver. Let me tell you about a God who's able to heal you and to save you and to restore you today. We cannot let God's harvest rot in the field today. We can't let it happen, church. Every year, man, I know I ain't the only one letting those tomatoes fall to the ground and rot. Some of you might not admit it, but you're doing the same thing. We can't let God's harvest rot in the field today. Let me tell you something, seed does nobody any good when it's left in the barn. Let me tell you something, a plow does nobody any good when it don't got some man's hands to guide it. Come on, somebody, we need laborers in God's field today. We all got something to contribute to the kingdom of God, and we got to realize that we're going to starve to death if we don't have some laborers in the field. This is helping you clap your hands unto the Lord and give him praise today. Hallelujah. In our text today, the disciples of Jesus Christ return from the city with food. It's there they find Jesus having a conversation with a woman who's drawing water from Jacob's well. The conversation between Jesus and this Samaritan woman was initially about water, a natural water. Let me tell you something. While this Samaritan woman was thinking about natural water, Jesus was thinking about spiritual water. He was thinking about eternal water. And this conversation the Lord is having with this woman, it turns into a spiritual matter, and he uses the natural water to get her to the living water. Natural water was a need. But living water was a greater need, and the Lord understood that this woman had a great need in her life. And the Lord understands that you have a great need in your life today. Can I tell you, there's a water source today for the soul that only God can give you. There's a water source from the soul that will never run dry today. There's a water source from the soul that only comes from the Holy Ghost. Church, our spring is internal today, not external. Huh? Our spring is internal today. It comes from God. This source doesn't come from without. It comes from within. Amen. We need the source of living water in our life today. The disciples begin to tell Jesus he needs to eat. They're concerned about his well-being. They're concerned about his physical being. Jesus begins to tell them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I have meat to eat that you know not of. Listen, church, the Lord was not teaching us today that our physical needs are unimportant. The Lord was not teaching us that we don't need to take care of ourselves. No, he wasn't doing that at all. The Lord was teaching us that we need to build our hopes on things eternal. The Lord was teaching us that we have spiritual matters that are of the utmost importance in our life today. The Lord was teaching us that what you feed will live and what you starve will die. The Lord was teaching us that we have a man that sometimes we lock up down in the basement and he wants to come out and he wants to, you got an inner man today that desires to worship God. He was created to worship God. He was created to give God praise today. And the more you suppress him, the more he wants to come out and the more he wants to give God glory today. The Lord was telling us you got to have some balance between the physical and the spiritual. You got to find some balance between the two. You got to take care of your mind. Brother Joe was talking about mental health. We have a mental health crisis in this country. We do. We have a mental health crisis in this country. It has never been more important for you to protect your mind. It has never been more important for you to give the Lord control over your mind. It's important today that we find balance in our life. We got to protect our minds. We got to take care of our body. We got to take care of our mind. We got to take care of our soul also. The Bible says that even Jesus himself separated himself from the crowds sometimes. Church, we got to take care of ourselves physically. We got to take care of ourselves emotionally. We got to take care of ourselves mentally. And we got to take care of ourselves spiritually. And when we do that, the Lord will use the literal things, just like he did with this scenario with the woman at Jacob's well. The Lord will use the literal things to bring us to the spiritual things. There's a lady in this church who's struggling. In the recent days, I find myself every morning when I see the sun rising, I got to send her a text and tell her, one day at a time, sis. God is faithful, sis. God's going to show up today, sis. God's not going to let you down today, sis. God is going to be there when you need him the most, sis. He's a faithful God, sis. He won't desert you. He's going to go all the way with you, even to the end, sis. Just hold on because the storm clouds are going to pass. Just hold on because your God's going to show up just in the nick of time, and he's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. God is teaching us to build our hopes on things eternal. Church, we got to take care of our mind, our soul, our body. We got to take care of our heart today. Amen. And when we do that, the Lord will begin to reveal things. He will show us things, and things will correlate from the physical to the spiritual. This is exactly what happened with this woman at the well. The woman at the well accepted what Jesus was offering her. How many know today the Lord can offer you all day long, but till you're willing to accept it? Come on, I can write you a check for $1,000 today, but if you're too lazy to go to the bank, I can't be a help to you. Come on, the Holy Ghost is telling you the same thing today. I've got exactly what you need. I got your tomorrow in my hands. I got your future. It can be bright, but you got to submit to me. You got to surrender to me. Come on. We got our harvest is great that's before us today. This woman accepted exactly what Jesus was offering her. He took time. He spent with her. She accepts what the Lord's offering her, begins to tell her all about her life. She rushes back into the town. She tells everybody about Jesus. And while she's gone, Jesus begins to seize the opportunity to speak into his disciples. And it's at this moment he begins to speak to them about a harvest. Let me tell you something. Jesus did not leave the seed in the barn. No, he didn't. He sowed it. He sowed it. He begins to speak to his disciples about the harvest. Let me tell you something. Jesus had just sown a seed in a Samaritan woman. He had just spent time with this woman, and he knew that he was about to reap a harvest. He knew that she had gone back into the town, Sister Melissa, and she was witnessing to the people in the town. He knew that a great mass of people was on their way back to the well. Now, the disciples didn't know about the harvest. It was hidden from them. Come on. But Jesus looks to them and he says, I sent you. They're coming back and you're going to reap what I sowed. You don't even have to do the labor. You just got to be there to gather in an end time harvest. I come to speak to somebody. There's a harvest that's hidden. You don't even understand how great it is. You don't understand how good God is. God wants to unleash on you his blessings today. You're going to reap a harvest that you don't even deserve today. If you'll just learn to be a laborer in God's field. The Lord tells his disciples, he says, I sent you. I sent you. He said, I sent you and you and you and you. They're coming. And I'm telling you today just what the Lord told his disciples in that day. They're coming. They're coming. The Lord's bringing in harvest in this end time. And it's going to blow your mind. There's going to be people coming from the east and the west and the north and the south. I'm coming to tell somebody that wall back there's got to come out. It ain't going to be able to hold. These seats ain't going to be enough. This building ain't going to be. I came to tell somebody eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. If we'll just be laborers in his field. Clap your hands and magnify the Lord all over this house today. Hallelujah. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things that God has in store for them that love him. That ain't going to happen if we don't have bodies in the field. That ain't going to happen if we don't have people to love people. That ain't going to happen if we don't have people to be patient with people and to speak into people. And to mentor people and to disciple people. That ain't going to happen without bodies in the field. That's not going to happen if the church is not better at gathering than it is at scattering. God didn't call us to scatter. God didn't call us to separate. God called us to gather. He sowed a seed. We're living in an end time harvest. The harvest is white, he said. It's ready. He told his disciples, he said, you're looking at it and you're looking 4 months down the road. You're thinking it ain't time for the harvest yet. But I come to tell you right now is the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I'm talking to you today about a hidden harvest. One that you don't even understand is coming. If you're faithful to God, you're going to have revival in your family. If you're faithful to God, you're going to have revival in your finances. If you're faithful to God, you're going to have revival in your church. If you're faithful to God, you're going to have revival in your family. If you're faithful to God, he's going to open the windows of heaven. He's going to pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain today. Hallelujah. This harvest was hidden from the disciples, but Jesus knew that it was coming. He knew that the Samaritan woman had gone back into the town and she had witnessed to folks and they were on their way. He knew that he needed disciples to speak into the lives of those people. He had just sown a seed and a harvest was on its way. Because the law is, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. If you sow a seed, you're going to reap a harvest. And a seed sown is a seed grown. God gives the increase today. Amen. He doesn't call us to scatter. He calls us to be laborers in his field. He calls us to plow and to plant, and he gives the increase today. So it is written, eyes haven't seen it, ears haven't heard it, neither can we conceive it, the things that God has in store for those that love him. Church, we need bodies in the field today. We need people that are concerned about souls today. We need people that love people today. We need people that are willing to stick with people through the thick and the thin today. We need people to love people right where they're at today. We need people that will say, I'll stand with you, brother. I'll stand with you, sister. I'll be here when you get weak, brother. I'll be here when you get weak, sister. I'll be here to support you. I'll give you the grace to grow. I'll give you the mercy that God loves you today and God wants to see you increase in his house today. We need laborers in the field today. We're going to starve to death if we don't have laborers in the field. Eyes haven't seen it. Ears haven't heard it. It's a hidden harvest. It's one that's too great for us to comprehend today. Man, I come to speak into some folks today. You don't even know how big your blessings are. You don't even begin to fathom what God has in store for you. You don't know how great your life can be today if you'll just surrender it all to Jesus. God did not call us to separate. He called us together. The text says the Spirit and the bride say, come. You know what that means? It ain't just the Spirit of God that convicts people, that draws people. No. The Word of God said the Spirit, Brother Basil, and the bride, which is the church, are to say, come. That means God needs laborers in the field to get out into the highways and into the byways and into some broken people's lives and say, let me tell you how good God can be to you. The Spirit and the bride must say, come. Come if you're broken. Come if you're hurting. Come if you're lost. Come if you're addicted. Come whatever your circumstance is. God wants to manifest himself in your life today. The Spirit and the bride must say, come. I heard somebody once say that loose tongues are worse than wicked hands. I believe that. Loose tongues are worse than wicked hands. You better watch what you say. You better watch what you speak into existence. You better watch who you offend. The Bible says it's better that a millstone be tied about your neck and you be cast out into the midst of the sea than for you to offend one of God's little. You better watch what you do. You better watch what you say. You better be careful who you drive out of the kingdom of God, because God might have big plans for them. You got a God you're going to answer to. When you offend one of God's little ones, give him some praise today. Hallelujah. You're called to gather. You're called to gather. You're called to be a laborer in God's harvest today. You're not called to decide what decisions people make. You're called to be a laborer in God's field today. Loose lips. I wish I had a dollar for every time I had to fix something. Somebody let some loose lips say something that they didn't let the Holy Ghost be their guide. I'd retire, not from church, from my job. I'd retire. Loose lips are worse than deceitful hands. You better be careful what you say to people. You better be careful the advice you give to people. I wish I had a dollar every time I had to talk somebody off of a ledge because somebody didn't have wisdom and knowledge, that they didn't have the rapport to speak into somebody's life. If God has not given you that rapport, let me tell you something about Jesus and this woman at the well. His culture told him he wasn't to talk to her. He was a Jew and she was a Samaritan and they hated one another. The Jews didn't talk with the Samaritans. The Jews didn't have fellowship with the Samaritans. But Jesus took the time and he walks up to Jacob's well and here's a woman gathering water to feed the camels. And he begins to spend time with her, Brother Joe, against what his culture said, against what society said. He begins to speak into her life. He begins to tell her things about her life that nobody knew. He began to minister to her, and she received it. Let me tell you something. If God did not give you the right to speak into somebody's life, you're in your flesh trying to do it. My God, that'll preach. Might not get a lot of amens, but it'll preach anyhow. If God didn't give you the rapport to speak into somebody's life, you better hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles. Come on, let the weed and the tare grow together, and God will do the separating in the end. God didn't call you to separate. God called you to unite. God called you to gather in. God called you to be a laborer in His field today. Clap your hands and magnify the Lord all over this house. This is not a, let me tell you something, this is not a social club for the righteous. This is a hospital for the hurting. This is a hospital for the broken. And if you don't want to see the world, and you don't want to see messed up people, and you don't want to see broken people, and you don't want to see addicted people, then the church ain't where you need to be. Because let me tell you something, Jesus walked up to that woman at the well who was taken in adultery, and He said, the one you got right now, he's not your own, but He loved her anyway. He spent time with her anyway, and He gave her what she needed. God has called you to speak into somebody's life and for you to give them what they need today. He didn't call you to cut them down. He called you to build them up. He called you to build them up. You're laborers in God's field today. You're workers in an end time harvest. We're sowing seeds. Paul planted, Apollos watered. He said, I give the increase. I give the increase. We're just sent here to gather in an end time harvest. We have a judge today. His name is Jesus. Come on. We have a judge today. His name is Jesus. His disciples didn't even know this great harvest was coming, but Jesus knew the harvest was coming. Jesus knew the woman at the well was back in town, and she was witnessing to everybody. She'd come see a man who told me everything about my life. Come see a man who spent time with me when he shouldn't have. Come see a man who loved me when he shouldn't have. But he spent time with her. He gained rapport with her. And then he was able to speak into her. You got to love somebody before you can correct somebody. I'm going to say it again because some people might not have heard it. You got to love somebody before you correct somebody. You got to love God's people. You got to love the kingdom of God. You got to love souls today. I'm not talking about the house of God not being kept holy. Let me tell you something. Not everybody in the house of God is in the same place. We're in the midst of an end time harvest. We're in the midst of an end time harvest, and God has called us to gather the people in today. Jesus told His disciples, He said, I got meat that you know not of. You don't worry about me physically. I'm sowing a seed, and I'm getting ready to receive a harvest. And that's why I've spent time with you, because the harvest is coming, and I need laborers in the field. What you don't know is there's a hidden harvest, and it's on the way right now. What you don't know is it's coming up the hill right now. And when they get here, I need somebody to spend time with them like I spend time with you. I need somebody to love them like I loved you. I need somebody to forgive them like I forgave you. I need somebody to be patient with them like I was patient with you. I need somebody to pray with them like I prayed with you. I need somebody to empower them like I empowered you. You're called to be laborers in an end time harvest today. The Lord tells His disciples, He says, I loved her. I loved her when society told me not to love her, I loved her anyway. When the church told me not to love her, I loved her anyway. And she's gone back and she's sowing a seed that I sowed into her, and there's a harvest coming up the hill. It's hidden from you and you don't understand it, but I'm coming to tell you, I'm sending you as laborers in my field in an end time harvest. My God, He said, lift up your eyes. I'm telling you today to lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They are white, already with harvest. Church, you got to look beyond the physical and you got to see the spiritual needs of God's people today. Come on, people have needs in their life today. People need to be mentored today. People need to be loved today. You got to look beyond the physical and you got to see the spiritual needs of God's sheep today. Because inwardly, broken people are yearning for what we have. Inwardly, broken people desire to have a walk with God. They desire to be close to God. They need what you have today. And the Lord said, I sent you. I send you. I send you. The harvest is coming. The harvest is on the way. It's hidden from you. You don't understand it. But I've established something in the earth. People are broken. And I've sowed a seed and it's coming. The harvest is coming. They're yearning. They're yearning. Broken people are inwardly yearning for what we have today. They're yearning for a connection with God Almighty. But you're not ever going to lead them to that as long as your flesh keeps on getting in the way. No. You're not ever going to lead them to that as long as your flesh keeps on getting in the way. Jesus saw a need for more workers in the field. So he prepared his disciples while she was gone back into town. She was bringing the harvest. He prepared his disciples for a harvest that was coming that they could not see. Let me tell you something. No believer in this room is exempt today. No believer in this room is unnecessary in the harvest. There are people in your circles, in your families, in your friends, in your neighborhoods, on your jobs that I will never meet in my life. But God's sending you. God's sending you to open your mouth. God's sending you to speak into their life. God's sending you to love the unlovable. God's sending you to forgive the unforgivable. God's sending you to care for his sheep in an end time harvest today. No believer is exempt. No believer is unnecessary. You can't be in the church and not be a laborer in the field. You can't be in the church and only be concerned about your own soul. Ooh. That'll hit somebody. You can't be in the church and only be worried about your own salvation. You can only work out your own salvation, but you ought to be trying to take salvation to anybody and everybody. Even those whose society says you shouldn't. Jesus didn't care about societal boundaries. Jesus didn't care that this woman was a mess. He loved her. For who she was. He loved her. Let me tell you something. We're too busy trying to get the mote out of somebody else's eye when we got a beam in our own eye. It's not what God called us to do, church. He called us to be a body in the field in this end time harvest. Let me tell you something. With God, nothing happens by accident. It doesn't. With God, nothing. Let me tell you something. You in this life, you can just be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But in the kingdom of God, nothing happens by accident. Yeah, nothing happens by accident. Let me tell you something. His purpose for you preceded your inception. His purpose for you was for you before you was ever even thought of. He had purpose for you. He had called you according to his purpose. He has invited us, church, to partner with him in this end time harvest. If you're going to partner with God, you got to love like God does because God is love. You got to love like God does. God is love. He created you. He spoke you. He spoke to you. He renewed you, rebirthed you. He's invited you to partner with him to accomplish his work in the earth. Every one of us has had an experience with God. Every one of us has seen the miraculous from the Lord in our lives. What God has called us to do is turn those experiences into opportunities to speak into somebody else's life. He didn't do it for no reason. He didn't redeem you by his blood so you could just keep it all to yourself. No, he redeemed you so you could tell somebody else he can redeem them. And you could speak into their lives. What God has called us to do is turn our experiences into an invitation to other people. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. Proverbs, the 10th chapter and the 5th verse says, "He that gathereth in the summer is a wise man. But he that sleepeth during the harvest is a son that causes shame." God help us if we sleep during his harvest. God help us if we let God's harvest rot in the field because we don't have laborers to gather in the harvest. God help us if we're ever become so self-righteous that all we're worried about is our own salvation. God help us if we ever lose a fire and a zeal for a lost and dying world that's yearning inwardly for a change in their life. God help us if it ever becomes about anything but souls. God help us. God help us. Church, are we involved? Are we laborers in an end-time harvest? We cannot afford to sleep. We cannot afford to let this harvest pass us by. People are yearning. People desire to know God. People desire to be loved. People are hurting. People are broken. People need to see the love of God in the church. People need to hear how good God's been to you. When the woman of the well went back and witnessed to the city, they all came out to meet Jesus. Jesus turned to his disciples. This is what he said to them. He said, "I sent you. I sowed a seed into her, and she went into the town and sowed a seed into them, and the harvest is on its way. I sent you to gather in my harvest. I sent you to love my people. I sent you to disciple them as I have discipled you. Go spend time with them as I have spent time with you. The harvest is not 4 months away," Jesus said. "The harvest is right now. The harvest is right now." Jesus said, "I sent you." Church, we are his 21st century disciples today. We are the ones that he's speaking to today, Brother Brad, when he says, "I sent you." Not long ago, Brother Brad was in the Kroger down the street. A young man was standing behind him. Brother Brad was drawn to him by the Spirit. And Brad walks away from him because his flesh didn't want to listen, but the Holy Ghost wouldn't let him be. He goes out to his car, and the Lord says, "No, you go back in and you meet that young man. I told you to greet him." He goes back in, begins to speak with the young man and his mother. Instant connection. The young man was going through so many things in his life. Let me tell you something. God wants you to speak into people's lives. God wants you to sow a seed of love. God wants you to gather in an end time harvest. God wants you to disciple his disciples. We're one good disciple away from busting this place apart today. If we will just love God's people, if we'll just love God's people, we are his 21st century disciples today. As we get ready to sing this song, we close. I want you to think about somebody in your life. I want you to think about somebody in your circle. I want you to think about somebody in your family. I want you to get out of your seat, and I want you to bring them up here, and I want you to lay them at the feet of Jesus. And I want you to realize today that God didn't call nobody in this room to do nothing. Every single one of you are meant to go out and to gather in a harvest today. Come on, let's be a gatherer in God's end time harvest today. As we sing this song unto the Lord, would you get out of that seat? Come up to the front of this church and let's lay somebody at the feet of Jesus.